when you prayed to God, you thought about God, you acknowledged God, or even complained to God. You got to the end of your day, and there was this sinking moment, and there's this deep spiritual sorrow. Oh man, I blew it. I blew it today. But then you vow, right? You vow tomorrow that tomorrow, what? It's going to be a better day. Tomorrow, I'm going to make a more conscious effort to connect with God. Right? How many of you have experience, right? You get to the end of the day and you're like, oh my, God wasn't very much in this picture in my day today. Well, you know, isn't it easy in the busyness of our lives to feel disconnected from God's presence? It's so easy to feel disconnected from the presence of God in all the tasks, in the busyness of our day, in the events of our day. But the truth of the matter is this. The truth of the matter is that we are never disconnected from God's presence. And doesn't the Bible promise that God will never, what, leave us or forsake us? And in fact, Jesus' own parting words before he ascended to heaven was this assurance that his presence was always with us. His presence was always pursuing us, if you will. And, you know, our job is just simply this. Our job is to simply become aware of his nearness and to stay connected to God and to his presence. The Bible describes that as abiding in the presence of the Lord. Abiding. Jesus, John chapter 15, verse 5, he communicates to us in the Gospels, and he says that we are to what? We are to abide in him, that we are to stay vitally connected to him, because apart from him, apart from his presence, apart from his power, we can do what? We can do nothing. We can't do anything. And so when we think about Christianity, when we think about the Christian life, there is this core conviction of connectedness, that we are to stay intimately and vitally connected to the presence of God. That's a core conviction of Christianity. In fact, the psalmist echoes this. The psalmist says in Psalm 89, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, O Lord. And it literally means blessed or blessed, happy, is the person who knows the joy that comes from being close to God's presence and bursts out in shouting and rejoicing and singing because of this thought that I'm in and near the presence of God at all times. Now, I suspect that each one of us has some specific goals that you want to accomplish in your life. You got a few goals in your life you want to accomplish? Right, you got bucket list items. You got a few of those. You got some things that you want to change or accomplish in your life. There's specific things that you want to do. I'm positive. There are specific things you wish to change. There are specific things that you want to change, need to change. And all of those things are good things. We shouldn't discount those. We should pursue those to the fullest. All of those things, most of those things, I should say. I shouldn't say all. Most of the things that we pursue are good things. They're noble things. They're worthwhile things that would help and improve our lives. But for the Christian, the highest goal is to become more aware of God's presence with us and to learn how to stay connected to the presence of God. That should be our highest goal. And when we do learn to stay better connected to God's presence, we'll experience what King David experienced. He said in Psalm 16, he said, "You have made known to me the path of life, and you will fill me with joy in your presence and with eternal pleasures at your right hand." And so we know that as we stay connected to the presence of God, the benefits are a well-ordered life, isn't it? How many like to have a well-ordered life? The benefits are a clear path to walk in this life. The benefits is the experience of deep and lasting joy. That's what happens when we stay connected to the presence of God, is that we receive the experience of deep and lasting joy. Who of us today wouldn't want to experience deep and lasting joy, right? We're all searching for that, aren't we? Deep and lasting joy, and for something that's true. And this is what we want to explore today in our time together. We talked last week about the presence of God. Today we want to talk about how do we stay connected to God's presence. And so I just invite you to pray with me. God, we want to, first of all, acknowledge that you're here and that you are with us. And because you are with us, you are wanting to do some things for us and wanting to do some things in us. And so we say yes and amen. We want to embrace the good things that you have for us. We want to embrace the change or the challenge that you would have for us today by your Spirit as we look into the Word of God. Lord, would you help us? We want to stay connected in this moment in the presence of God, putting everything and throwing everything aside that might distract us or hinder us from really hearing what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. And so, Lord, we need you. There's never a moment we don't need you. We need you, Lord. Pray this in your wonderful name, the name of Jesus. Amen. First of all, this morning, I think it's important that we establish where we stand with God. Before we talk about being connected with the presence of God, we need to understand where we stand with God. So many people have a difficult time with this, don't they? They're so uncertain about what God thinks of them. They're uneasy when they talk about their relationship with God. And the reason for this uneasiness is that they are focused on what they have done and what they haven't done. Too many Christians base the quality of their relationship with God on their own righteousness, on who they are as a person. And when we do this, when we approach God in this way, when we think about our relationship with God in this way, we're actually starting off on the wrong foot. We start off on the wrong foot. And I want you to look at in Hebrews chapter 10 with me. I want you to look at an important passage of Scripture so you can turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10. Open your Bible apps. You got to say that. And I want you to see an important passage of Scripture as we're talking about where we stand with God. Chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, opened for us through the curtain, that is his body or Christ's body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. And we'll stop there in the reading of the Scriptures. Now listen to me personally. The experience of being near the presence of God is made possible by God and not us. It's not us. It's God. We enter into the glorious presence of God with this humble boldness, as the Scripture says, because of what Jesus has accomplished for us, not because of what we have accomplished that would impress God. And so I think we need to settle that right away, that the experience of being near the presence of God, it's all made possible by God and not us. Now, the writer encourages us, you and me, as Christians, to have boldness to enter the most holy place, the Holy of Holies, it says. Now, this is a throwback to the Old Testament, and the most holy place in the Old Testament was this place of God's manifest presence, the place where God manifested His power and His presence in His fullness. You couldn't get any closer to God in the Old Testament than being in the Holy of Holies, in the most holy place. And the Old Testament high priest could enter into this Holy of Holies, into this most holy place, only one time a year, and then only after performing 7 days of cleansing activities to ensure that he was fully set apart and consecrated to enter into the presence of God. And even this 7-day purification process only provided some degree of certainty that he would come out alive. All right. So needless to say, Old Testament priests, boldness was not part of their mindset. They were not bold when they entered the presence of God. They were scared to death. Wasn't quite sure how to finish that. I could have gone two ways. Yeah. Anyways. And so, the writer in Hebrews, he's likening our ability to enter the presence of God with the high priest and his entering into the most holy place. But this is the amazing part of it all. We're encouraged to draw near to God as the high priest in the Old Testament did, but not just one time a year, right? We're encouraged to live continually in God's presence. It's pretty amazing, really, think about it. And the question is, how is this possible? Well, it's not because you and I are good gals and girls. Guys. Guys and gals and girls and boys. It's not because of us. It's because of the sacrificial and willing death of Jesus on the cross. He has consecrated you and me, which is a fancy word to say that He set us apart, and now He says, once you were not a people, now you're a people. Once you are not the people of God, and now you are the people of God. You have been consecrated, set apart. He has made us acceptable, Jesus has, through His work on the cross. He has made us acceptable in God's sight, and we can now enter into God's presence. We have been reconciled. You and I have been reconciled, and we have the ability now, not because of what we have done, but because what Jesus has done, to enter into the presence of God, not just once, not just a couple times a year, but we can enter His presence all the time. And if you remember last week, I said that the grand theme of the Bible was experiencing and enjoying the presence of God. That's the grand theme of the Bible. That the first humans experienced the immediate and personal presence of God, and they lost it, didn't they? And then the rest of the Bible, from really Genesis on, is God's plan of regaining this intimate fellowship with those that He created. Now, that's pretty simplistic, but overall, that's the overarching theme of the Bible. Humanity had experienced the nearness of God. Humanity lost the nearness of God because of his sin, his rebellion, his propensity to just do his own thing and forget God and his word, his laws, his commands. And then it's God doing all that he can, and he did all he could, didn't he, to regain that nearness of and fellowship with humanity. So let me just tell you what happens before we talk answer our question today. Let me tell you what happens to you and me when Jesus enters the picture of our lives. When we acknowledge our sinfulness. Have you done that? I'm praying. I hope you have. When we acknowledge our sinfulness and accept Jesus as our Savior, as our leader, as our Lord, when we receive His forgiveness and grace, when we receive the new life and the heart that Jesus offers to us, we become recipients of the greatest opportunity of humankind that has had since the Garden of Eden. You and I, we get the opportunity to walk once again in the cool of the day with God in His presence. We get to enjoy the nearness of God. Now, just park it right there for just a moment and think about that. Think about that truth. That we can experience the nearness and presence of God. The question, though, still remains. It's probably on your minds, though, I'm sure. How? How? How can I experience the presence of Almighty God on a daily basis? How do I do that? Well, I want to offer, I don't do this often. I try not to do it because I think it's kind of corny. But I think the Lord gave me this acrostic. So I'm going to use an acrostic. And hopefully this will help us to connect to God's presence in a greater way in our lives throughout the day. The acrostic is this. It's BLED. B-L-E-D. BLED. B, begin your day. L, live your day. E, end your day. D, do it all over again. All right? This is easy to remember, isn't it? Of course, you notice that it spells something. BLED. It takes us back to what I've just said earlier to you, that Jesus has done all the redemptive work that enables you and me to experience and enjoy the nearness of God's presence. It's all because of whom? Jesus. It's all because of Jesus. And so let's work through these this morning so we can answer the question, how? How can we experience the presence of God on a daily basis? How can we do that? We want to start with beginning our day. Kind of makes sense, right? Everybody begins their day some point, don't they? You know, the psalmist said in Psalm 5, "In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you, and I wait in expectation." Psalm 59, verse 16, "But I will sing of your strength. In the morning, I will sing of your love, for you are my fortress, you are my refuge in times of trouble, my strength. I will sing praise to you, you, O God, are my fortress and my loving God." And then Psalm 130 says, "I wait for the Lord." You know this one? "My soul waits, and in His word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning." Now, I realize that some of you aren't morning people. How many aren't morning people? You can raise your hand, I suppose. You've got it figured out how long you can stay in bed. You've got it figured out how long you have to get ready for work, how long it takes to get ready for work, how long it takes to get to work, and then if there's frost or ice on the windshields, you're completely thrown off, right? And you have a bad day the rest of the day because you're late. So some of you I know, you're not morning people. You're just like, I'm going to set that alarm to the latest possible moment, and then I'm just going to get ready, and I'm going to go, all right? And then some of you are early people. Some of you get up earlier than I'd ever think about getting up, or really, right? Just early people. That's just the way you're wired. And there's nothing wrong. There's no good, bad. It's just the way you're wired. Some of you are early. Some of you are late. Some of you are in between. Some of you are night people. Some of you are just all mixed up and you work nights and sleep during the day. You have a day that starts. And one of the things that we can do to connect with God's presence is to begin each day conscious of His presence. Here's something that I might suggest to you. As soon as your feet hit the floor, we're talking practicals today. As soon as your feet hit the floor, acknowledge God's presence with you. God, I acknowledge that You're present with me. And this is a new day, and Your kindness and love is going to be fresh and new in my life, and Your direction is going to be new, and this is a brand new day. God, I acknowledge that You're with me today. As soon as your feet hit the floor, You're with me, God. Thank You. Acknowledge that no matter what challenges that you might have in your day, God's presence is with you in them. Begin each day conscious of the Lord's presence with you. And, yeah, God, You're with me today. Secondly, the reality is this. We won't start our day with God or spend time in God's presence if we don't create time. Time quietly spent in God's presence has to be purposeful or we won't do it. Now, if we're honest, which all of you are, right? We create time, don't we, for everything else we want to do in our lives. We create time. If we want to do something, we're finding time to do it. We create time. We're just, you know,